This particular dream that I had about you, Bill, was on Tuesday. And in the dream, the name, your name, Bill Vanderbush, was being taught in Bible schools. So I was watching in this classroom, this Bible college, I think it was a college. And I could see the teacher who looked a lot like Professor Dumbledore, which was kind of funny, but I think that signifies wisdom in one way or another. But your name being taught in the schools because of the representation of the Father's heart, because it was such a good, accurate representation of the Father's heart. Is what was being taught. And there were other like famous names that were coming up, but the professor was crossing them out and highlighting your name. And that was the dream. It blessed me because I knew that just hearing you and being connected, I know that to be true, the accurate representation of the Father's heart. And I don't think it was an accident that you were talking about that tonight either. So.
So, Jess, in the dream, you are watching a classroom, a college level classroom or graduate school or something. And the guy that's teaching looks like Dumbledore, which is the Harry Potter guy. And Bill's
Master.
name is being used, and other names are being crossed out. And it's being,
Yes.
he's being, you, his name is used because he represents the Father's heart so well.
Yes, it was that reason specifically is what stood out to me was
And you're
because of that
watching this whole thing,
representation.
right?
Yes,
And so, and what was the light and color like in this dream?
very bright. Very bright, very, I don't know, detailed, lots of people. And I knew it was a Bible type class. I knew it was some
Seminary or something.
something like that.
And what would you title the dream?
Oh, I didn't even think about that. The Father's heart. I don't know.
So it's a cool dream, and it's about an assignment you have, and you are called to pray for the Father's heart to be released in higher level education, probably seminary. But I believe that a lot of the reason Dumbledore is the teacher is Harry Potter is actually he's teaching about witchcraft in the Harry Potter and magic, right? And so in a way, maybe some of the seminaries have not used the Father's heart, and it's been more about spells and legal different things that are not necessarily the Father's heart. And the Lord wants intercessors to pray for that to change, and for men like Bill to be able to have an influence, and what he teaches to have an influence. So it's not just about Bill, but it's Bill and people like him who teach about the Father's heart. But you have a call in your life to intercede for that to happen. So that's why you were watching, but you weren't in the class. You were just seeing it. The Lord is giving you an assignment to intercede for that to happen in the in seminary level things, that instead of all the other stuff, to cross out all these famous names that we're not teaching about the Father Heart, and for that to be what's released in, seminary education.
That tracks.
Yeah,
Thank
so
you. That
Lord bless
tracks.
her. Yes, continue to give
I
her
will
it.
get to work.
Yes, that's a good dream.
Jess, if I can give you maybe a little insight, just this make it this is really personal to me, because you said you had this on Tuesday night.
Yes.
Okay, that's really important, because I was teaching at our school of ministry on Tuesday night, which I don't do all the time. We have a lot of great teachers, a lot of good faculty, and yet on this particular Tuesday, this past Tuesday, when I was scheduled to teach, I felt like the Lord said really, really strongly, "I want you to talk about the message on grace that I gave you like 15 years ago." And it was really a life-changing, revolutionary message for me, but I don't talk about it much anymore. It was the book Reckless Grace came out of it, and it weaves its way through pretty much everything I ever talk about. But it was a revelation on grace that opened up the revelation on union. But here's the important part about it. Way back then, when I first started talking about this, we had a conference going on at our church, and it was a whole bunch of, Bethel figures and stuff at the time. And Bob Jones was there, old Prophet Bob. And I really never talked to Bob much or anything. And the guy was sitting next to me and says to me, "You should ask Bob to give you a word." And Bob didn't know me from anybody. And I don't ask people for words. I just don't. But in this case, I knew, Bob was getting up there in years, and I thought we may not have Bob around for much longer. And so I thought, why not? What's the worst he can say? No, I'm back to square one anyway. It doesn't really matter. So I turned toward him. I was sitting next to him in a chair. So I turned and faced him, and I thought he would turn and face me, and he didn't. It was very awkward. So I'm talking to the side of his head, and I said, Brother Bob, not normally something that I do. I said, but I don't know. Any impressions you get? Anything you got for me? He never even looks at me, looks straight ahead and goes, I do my best Bob Jones voice. He goes, You don't need a word from me. You already know what it is. God's giving you a message on grace. He's going to revolutionize the body of Christ. And that was all he said.
Bam.
And I slowly turned back and faced front. And I went, Oh, wow. I should probably teach this a lot. And I did for years. And so for years, I became known as the grace guy. And because of that, oh man, talk about getting slammed, back then. And back then, I could count on two hands the number of people that were talking about grace as strongly as I was. And, just a handful of us. And now it's thousands of people. Stuff that I was getting called a heretic for back then is common orthodoxy now among the revivalist community and the body of Christ. So I've watched a transformation happen, but it was stunning how the other night on Tuesday was the first time I have taught that message on
That's
grace
interesting.
in years, actually. I mean, I touch on it, but not taught the thing all the way through. And I just couldn't believe how rich it felt while I was talking about it. And people were like laid out on the floor having encounters with God. People were buzzing the whole time. And I thought about it. And I looked around and went, man, there is so much life on this word. It is not stale. And so it's really interesting that you say Tuesday night and that you had that dream, because it feels like God's confirming to me what I felt when I left there, and that was, don't put this message in a box and walk away from it and think it's run its course. It hasn't. Just getting
Absolutely.
started.
And
Actually,
there's layers to it, Jess, so that you're praying for Bill to keep doing that, but you're praying for much more than just Bill. I mean, that's important
yes.
with Bill, but it's much more than that. There's layers to things.
Interestingly enough, Bill, I had actually laid down to take a nap on Tuesday. It wasn't at nighttime. It was probably around 12 or 1 o'clock Eastern time. And so, and I knew it felt to me to be a very prophetic. I just w woke up and was like totally not surprised at all. I was like, oh, I could totally see that for sure. And I have a heart, a passion for healing in leadership, to model healthy leadership and a lot of what you're doing. So at first, Christy, until you said there's a call for you to pray for that, I thought, what a really cool dream for Bill. Maybe I'll get to encourage him with that. Not realizing that, okay, there's a little bit of work on my end too. So I appreciate that.
And
That's
you have
fun.
not just a call to do it, but you've got like an anointing to do it. You've got a grace to do it on your life to bring that forth when you pray for it.
And that's wild at the timing, because it would have been at that time that we were in our church staff meeting. It was in that staff meeting that I felt the Lord say, you need to talk about grace tonight.